Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. And if you want another one, I bring you good news. You don't need another one. That's all you need. That's all you get.
Eat shit, solid verbal.
In so many words, I'd say politely, yeah. You can catch this smoke because ain't nobody else got this kind of fire. Pa-pow! We're here to talk about important football, and by that I mean the FCS season starting up in like a week.
No. This is not Split Zone Duo.
This is not, well.
Eat shit, Split Zone Duo as well.
we're just doing it all. Daily, eat shit, Joe Rogan, eat shit.
That's every week, man. We say that every week.
Split Zone Duo, love y'all, eat shit.
We shouldn't lump these people in with Joe Rogan.
The Daily, maybe.
Oh, yeah. No, oh God, no. This is just an increasing list of people that I want to fight.
Yeah. Bill Simmons, get the adenoid surgery that you've been hiding from for years. I said
that's
it.
That's just hurtful.
It's mean.
Not all of us can control how we sound.
Hey, you know what? His is a choice. Yours has made you stronger. Made you more distinctive.
Some of us have been told by other people on this podcast that we sound just like Matt Iglesias.
Who the fuck said that to you?
He's sitting in the room with you.
I cannot.
What is wrong with you?
When did I say that?
You've said it several times.
Spencer, now
God,
you have
to. Did you say that?
Now you have to fight Joe Rogan.
What the fuck were you going through? There's nothing that you could have been going through in your stupid life that would have made that okay.
I will take that ass whooping from Joe Rogan happily, Ryan. I'm very sorry I said that.
Now.
Sometimes I just black out. If I'm going to be honest. Not even drinking.
To be clear, it was said, you know how Spencer will sometimes just say things and there's not, like, there's no real clear, like, oh, he intended this, or it's sort of like, you know, watching a dog get a hold of a plunger. You're like, yeah. I don't think there's a plan here, but the dog has a plunger now.
Yeah, that's, yep.
The Shutdown Fullcast. The dog has a plunger.
This also explains why no one has tweeted from the Fullcast account since January 19th. Because guess who's in charge of that?
Coordination.
Coordination makes it sound like it's anybody's fault but yours, my dove.
Thank you. So, having started on a rousing note of my coworkers really enjoying my entire presence, personality, and influence,
talent lets me be a shitty teammate. How is that relatable to sports?
Tom Brady doesn't do that.
Again, I'm going to refer you back to the perfect metaphor. Look at me complimenting the excellent work by a teammate of dog with a plunger.
More like Tom Bombadil over here.
I'm going to check if that's taken real quick. Hold on.
Dog with a plunger.
.biz. Brian Floyd, I know you're listening right now. Please fill out
this hold on. Website. I'm going to buy it live on the air. Don't worry.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Okay, good.
Sorry, Ryan, I should never have implied that you're not capable of this kind of stewardship.
Floyd and I are in kind of like an arms race to see who can corner the market on the most stupid custom URLs. He's got a lot of
pre-owned airboats.biz redirect to.
You know, one of these, when you're like 65, is going to be the desired name of, I don't know, some future vampiric online monster that is about to be, and you're going to be able to make like millions of dollars off it because they're like, no, we need the name pre-owned airboats. It's the only thing that can really describe the mission statement of our Silicon Valley funded water hoarding empire.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Pre-ownedairboats.com, and that's how you're going to like really hit it in retirement, right? They'll be like, damn, Ryan Nanny hit a lick when he was like 68. How'd he do that? Turns out somebody wanted to pay $8 billion for the URL pre-owned airboats.
I think how this is going to hit is when air itself becomes pre-owned. When the oligarchs lay claim to individual portions of oxygen and, you know, there are skyboats. Because, like, whatever, they're flying cars. When aren't there skyboats? Mm-hmm. But I think it's the air itself that will become pre-owned.
Jason, is that before or after the water wars, do you reckon?
I mean,
orcas aren't.
Those are happening pretty soon, so after.
Yeah. Okay.
Ryan, don't use words I don't understand.
Sorry. Okay.
Especially when they sound cool.
So Ryan, you're disbarred for now for that.
So I'm in the process of registering dogwithaplunger.com. I am adding that
not
to my...
.biz?
No, I don't. I like to get the .com because I feel like that's where people are going to go.
It's more trustworthy when you're Googling dog with a plunger and you say, oh,
you're
.com.
My lawyer and I trust you.
Right.
You're my lawyer and Jason is my pastor and I trust you both.
Here's the other thing. If dog with a plunger takes off, I don't want somebody to scoop me with the .com and scoop up all my traffic. Like how WhiteHouse.com used to redirect to a porn site, I think. So now I own 24snakes.com.
Kind of missed the Reagan years. Oh.
24snakes.com, 25snakes.com, 26snakes.com, dogwithaplunger.com, preownedairboats.com, and scottfrostday.com.
Preownedairboats.biz doesn't redirect to anything tonight. Where should we redirect it to?
Do we own that?
Do we not? I thought I made Floyd buy the .biz.
Maybe he did.
Hang on.
Right now,
thanks, Floyd.
Right now, the preownedairboats.com is forwarding to a dead home field link because I'm very good at business. It used to be
just
the Jacksonville
show. Just redirect
it
to the YouTube video for Michael Bolton's Steel Bars.
I will do that.
Thank you.
I was about to sing Steel Bars, but I'm strictly in a singing The Killers over and over again and only in my
Steel Bars!
Can you do
all around me. I am so sorry to this dog.
Can you do The Killers doing Steel Bars?
Steel Bars! And like, you have to sing like two notes.
Wrapped all around me. No, I just
I've been in prison since the day I was born.
We need to get the Spirit Halloween guy, Chattanooga's own, to record that song.
I also conclude every Killers lyric with "When you were young," whether it has anything to do with that song or not, right?
I think that works especially well when you get up at karaoke and slay chicks and ducks and geese, butter Surrey.
When you were young. Yeah.
Wow. You're really upsetting this dog. Welcome the Shut Hound full cast to the program. She is sleeping right now between us in the studio, and she really did not like the welcome, which is why Spencer pulled up short.
Yeah, I had to. She was reacting in really, really unpleasant ways. And by that, I mean farting. Forgot how much dogs fart.
Really? By that, we mean she was not rating, reviewing, and subscribing on the nearest available podcast app. Which
That's
makes
a shame.
Her one of our listeners with a lot of room for improvement.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
You know
there
what?
It is.
Like, see, we like to... We
Barked
like
at
to,
the cat does not appear to have an Apple ID.
We like to extend this courtesy to everybody, by the way. Yes, the Buccaneers might have won the Super Bowl 31-9.
Wait, what?
Yeah. And nobody really cares about how that might have happened except for this. I will say this. I'm leaving a 5-star review on the podcast Yelp page or relevant customer service input page of one person on the Kansas City Chiefs. This right? I want to know who did their job perfectly, who had 3 punts for 107 yards, who didn't mess up a single thing, and who got off every one of his attempts clean. That is correct. That is Chiefs MVP Tommy Townsend, graduate of the University of Florida. That's right. What's been the best part of the University of Florida football experience for the past 10 years? Punters.
Yeah, some kickers, but punters too. He did.
He shanked one pretty hard.
Yeah, on a second
did
chance.
Did you
go
to bed
too.
Before the end of the Super Bowl?
I did. I'm just.
This
reading
was in
the
first half.
The stat line. I'm just reading the
stat
line.
Yeah, it was like the second. First, it was
I was
first
not paying attention. I gotta
fine,
admit.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Well,
I just saw
Florida.
Florida didn't do that well in a bowl game, is what I'm saying.
Wow.
That's never happened in
that's
Tampa.
A novel
before.
Experience for everyone involved.
No,
there are no Florida players on the Bucks. There's a Harvard player. There are 2 Iowa players. There are 2 James Madison players.
Mm.
There's a couple Canadians. Not Florida. Not Florida or Florida State or Miami.
It's weird. A team of Tom Brady suddenly gets unusually Caucasian. That's odd.
So I disagree with that. Because did you see the thing Bomani did on, I think it was on HQ today?
Mm.
So the Bucks have a black OC and a black DC. They do.
Mm-hmm.
Special teams, too.
And right. Yes, that's right. Yes.
One of them makes me feel extremely old.
Including college football legend and great statue Byron Leftwich, their offensive coordinator.
That would be the one who makes me feel old.
Yeah.
Byron Leftwich is the offensive coordinator of the Bucks.
Did a great job last night.
I mean, it's not his fault that he makes me feel old.
Todd Bowles is the defensive coordinator of the Bucks.
And his great name because it's also a simple sentence.
Mm-hmm.
They're
not the same.
You should go seek it out from Bo on Twitter, but the short version is in the post-game like virtual media availability, I believe the first question Byron Leftwich got asked was like, "Hey, what did you do? What did you do to game plan to limit the Chiefs and Pat Mahomes to 9 points?" And Byron Leftwich is, you could just see him just being like, "The fuck is? Are you? I just won the Super Bowl. I just won the fucking Super Bowl as an offensive coordinator."
Do we know who this was?
I don't remember. I don't know if they've said who it was. Okay. And but like,
if it was a woman, we would already know who it was. It was so not I assume a woman.
That
a
is
dude.
True. It was a dude, and Dominique Foxworth on the show was like, "Well, like, weren't there other questions that would have clued you in?" And Bo said, "No, this is the first question." And then Dominique brought up the good point of like, "Well, they introduce who's at the podium. That means it came literally after they told you who this person was."
They should stop letting Tom Brady ask questions.
Yeah. It was just, I mean,
I think it's sweet that Jim Mashick got a Super Bowl pass.
Wow.
JimMashick.com.
That's a deep cut, just like Super Bowl.
Yeah, so the Bucks have a very interestingly diverse staff, and one media member decided that Byron Leftwich was the defensive coordinator, even though it's not even like they even kind of look alike. It's fucking stretch.
No, they do not. Also, Byron Leftwich is hella famous.
Yes.
Well, in our world, yeah.
But in the world of people who are covering the fucking Super Bowl, Byron Leftwich is hella famous. It's not like he was at Fashion Week. He could be at Fashion Week. That's fine. I don't know his hobbies.
Hi, everybody. I'm Byron Leftwich, and this is Fashion Week.
Please don't do his voice.
No, don't do that. And it's also not
has Byron Leftwich not suffered enough?
It's also not like he just showed up and everybody was like, "Who the fuck is there's been media for a week or two leading up to this. People should know who Byron Leftwich is."
Also, where it's due. I said that Todd Bowles is great because he has a name that's a simple sentence. Both of these coaches have names that could be more than passable English villages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could be. Or
Todd upon Bowles.
Frankly, English Premier League managers, right? Mm-hmm. If I was Todd Bowles taking over Wolverhampton.
Bowles, you wanker!
See it. See if Byron Leftwich can get the Wolves back to past relegation.
Byron Leftwich could actually be a tier 3 club.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, that's a great tier 3 club.
My family's club is Byron Leftwich FC.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Richmond's totally losing 3-1 to Byron Leftwich next year and Ted Lasso.
You guys
talk
amongst yourselves for a minute, and I'm going to decide the top 5 college coaches who could be football club names.
Who could be football clubs.
That's excellent.
I just want a football club named Dave. But
Dave. Okay, anyway. Yeah.
All right, you guys talk amongst yourselves. I'll come back with this list shortly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a bad moment for everybody. Leftwich handled it pretty well in that he balanced both the "I really don't want to completely destroy this reporter's life," but also "I have no idea what you're doing, dude." He struck a nice balance between those two.
Yeah, he was very much like, "Oh, you fucked up. You super fucked up."
Imagine if he had lost the Super Bowl and then gotten that question. God.
What a refreshing moment.
This could have been a worse night for everybody.
What a refreshing moment for an offensive coordinator, by the way, that he got to do that to a reporter. That reporters who get to ask him questions like, "Well, why'd you call that screen? Which I watched 17 hours of against that defense and it worked every single time. Why did you call that particular screen? Which worked every other time against every other team. In the third quarter, that resulted in a game-killing interception. Well, funny. Do you remember what you just did? I get to say that to you now." That's rewarding. I mean, usually, I've been on the other side when you have to ask a question. It's got to be great to be like, "Oh, no, 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 no. Let's back this up. You're in trouble now. You didn't even watch the film, son. You didn't even read the roster." Well done, dude. Well done. By the way, Byron looks great. Looks absolutely great.
Yeah, 100%. And
clearly all that time at Fashion Week.
And, and did a great job. This is the only actual football perspective I have on the game. There's a lot of talk about the Chiefs offensive line and what the fuck was Pat Mahomes supposed to do? He's throwing from 15 degrees, horizontal to the field and hitting receivers in the face mask, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But not a lot of talk about, like, yeah, Tampa called a really good offensive game against the Chiefs. Like, did not, you know, really did not look flustered for large stretches of the game. Could have been worse because they got stopped on third and goal and fourth and goal from the one.
I am all for this, by the way, because, one, it's more shine for Byron Leftwich and less for Tampa Bay's quarterback. And two, we really need to compliment what a great job Byron Leftwich did with such a limited signal caller. We really need to. That Leftwich managed to take a 43-year-old and put him in a position to succeed. That's really all you want to do when you're working in gerontology, is you want to make sure that, you know, they feel like they're continuing to grow. They might actually not be continuing to grow, but you want to make them feel that way, you know, to keep them alive.
Sure. I like the fancy graphics they do where they show like what like a quarterback's movement over the course of the game in the pocket or from shotgun or whatever. And like most quarterbacks, like there's a normal amount of movement to it. Pat Mahomes like looks like a fucking butterfly dying. It's spread way out to the side and to the back. It's fucking crazy. And Tom Brady's is like, yep, got my 2,000 steps in tonight. That's all I needed. Just kept it. It basically looks like he played the game on a treadmill that like slightly tilted to the side occasionally.
Cha-cha now, y'all. That's what it looks like. It looks like if you did gentle DDR
to
maybe something like that or the Cupid Shuffle.
Yeah.
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 And good for him. I'm just glad that at his age, he can feel like, you know, feel like he's accomplishing something, you know?
You know that football reply guy thing where it's like, watch football when like someone has lost an argument online, more or less, and the retort is, learn football.
Yeah.
And like, no matter how defeated they are, having someone tell you that is still like, right? Like that is deeply irritating, no matter how wrong they are, when they go to when it is just this like bizarre clobber argument. Learn football. Well, I have never more wanted to use this than when I see people saying Patrick Mahomes played poorly in this year's Super Bowl.
Oh God!
Because if you say he didn't do well, he should have stepped up in the what fucking pocket? He should have done this. He should have done that. He should have hit his receivers in the fucking face mask more often.
He cannot pass to himself.
Listen, the younglings when Anakin Skywalker shows up, the younglings have to adjust the game plan. All right, they got to figure out what to do in the face of lightsaber pressure.
I've never been more irritated by football fans than when it comes to discussing the facts that happened within a football game. Of course, there are certainly arguments they make that are worse, that are about things outside the field. But when it comes to what happens on the actual gridiron, saying Patrick Mahomes played poorly against Tampa Bay Buccaneers is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen. It was the strangest NFL game I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of Falcons games, so I know what I'm talking about. It was, if his receivers can catch the ball and if the Bucs don't get like five bullshit pass interference penalties in their favor, the entire result could have flipped. And we're talking about a 22-point spread, like a 22-point swing. Like the Bucs offense, sure, it's fine. Byron Leftwich did what he could with such a limitation at quarterback. Todd Bowles dialed up a perfect scheme. Don't blitz. They can't block, so why blitz? Have seven guys back to cover. Seven guys can cover five guys, right? And then that's it. And then Mahomes magic, and you get a little bit of luck, drop passes that are hitting people in the fucking face and whatever. But like, dude, if you watch that game and you're not convinced Patrick Mahomes is the best football player of all time, watch football. Learn football. It's okay to say it. That's the best football player who has ever played the game. It's fine. We can admit it. Tom Brady has a lot of rings. So does Robert Horry. Robert Horry's the greatest basketball player of all time. I realize
that's true. That is true.
But you know what it reminded me of?
Are you about to segue into an acorns thing again?
I wasn't.
No. Okay. Because I thought Spencer was segueing into an acorns thing a few minutes ago and forgot about it. So I just wanted to make sure we hadn't dropped that.
No.
Because he kept talking about making things grow.
Sure.
Anyway, Ryan, can you ask Spencer and Jason the question you asked me towards the end of the Super Bowl last night about Brady? Because I am interested to hear what they say.
Okay. So one of these stupider things that has been floating around really Twitter, but probably like sports media more broadly over the last, I don't know, week or two, is this assertion that Tom Brady is in the conversation for greatest athlete of all time. And that leads to a lot of pushback where people are like Serena or Simone Biles or Michael Phelps or like, you know, a lot of different players, whatever. Michael Jordan, LeBron, et cetera, et cetera. Here is my question to you. Putting aside that, yes, he's extremely accomplished and he is extremely good at his job, what is the like most athletic thing you remember Tom Brady doing in his now 20-year career? Like, what is the athletic highlight?
Do you remember a holy shit play from Tom Brady?
Where you were like, how did he do that physically?
Yeah, that time he dropped a pass in the Super Bowl and they lost the Super Bowl because of it.
That was good. Yeah.
That was definitely my favorite Tom Brady play.
I thought that was breathtaking. I thought the time where he just got to throw float balls to Randy Moss, that was pretty incredible. People are like, Brady is an amazing quarterback. Randy Moss, meanwhile, is throwing three dudes off of him and like blowing up a helium balloon with helium he stored in his lungs so he could fly 10 feet in the air, right? And yet somehow not die of like hypoxia to catch the ball. I thought that was pretty cool. I like all those times he hit the flat. That was my favorite thing. Like, wow, great pass to the flat, Tom Brady.
Are we ultimately celebrating here a pre-2020 mailman?
Wow.
Which mailmen, you know, male persons should be celebrated. Mailmen for men.
Mm-hmm.
Male people should be celebrated. God damn it.
Postal carriers.
I'm trying to say that I really appreciate mail carriers right now, especially now that we don't have them anymore. But ultimately, what we are celebrating is he worked the mail room correctly. He got the things in the slots on time and didn't get fired.
It's just like...
Just don't
and
try.
He was kind of a dick the entire time.
Just throw to the flat.
It's just so weird because like for every other athlete,
Tom Brady wasn't that great is what we're all saying.
For every other athlete that's on this list, you can at least
us at 38 Godfrey.
He won't care about that.
Like if you compare Brady to LeBron,
yeah.
Come the fuck on.
Right.
Watch
compare
basketball.
Brady to Serena, bitch. Compare Brady if you want a more recency bias, compare Brady to fucking Simone Biles.
Watch gymnastics.
Thank you.
Yeah. By the way, get the hell out of here with the clutch gene thing. Stop.
Ugh.
Stop.
When has America ever gone wrong diving into genetics?
It's true. When has that ever...
I guess it would be my
When has that ever gone badly when we've attributed something to genetic superiority? I don't know. Seems like something Brady might be into.
Anyway,
but
Pat Mahomes.
Also, but here's the other thing. I think like the more interesting take on this is that, and this is weird to say, Tom Brady's career should perhaps be more appreciated because he's not particularly insanely athletic. He's not like out of shape or like unathletic, but he's not like, have you fucking seen Tom Brady run? I mean, Jesus Christ.
I think what you're saying is in both execution and in motion, he is a grandfather clock.
Yes. Or a grandfather, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But I just said clock.
Yes.
His big message is this: don't try. When you think about the most obvious plays that they made, what did they do? Okay, against the Rams, he throws like a nice out and up. That's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, an out and up pattern is based on like execution. It's not really based on like one guy outskilling the other. It's based on, oh, you thought he was going this way, now he's going that way. Every other play I remember Tom Brady doing is being like, man, he's thrown to a really great player, and or, oh, yeah, that guy's open in the flat. Stop trying. Everyone else is trying too hard. You know what Aaron Rodgers' problem is? Aaron Rodgers is trying too hard. Because you know what Aaron Rodgers can do? Aaron Rodgers can put it into that 3-inch by 3-inch hole in the back of the end zone that happens in a busted cover 3 that he
I
can put to
a... I guess that's a better mailroom analogy because it's like a pigeonhole.
Right. Like, here, just put it right there. And Aaron Rodgers is like, yeah, I can do that. It's going to rock. It'll look awesome. You know what Tom Brady's like? I'm not doing that. Adam Vinatieri can kick this game-winning field goal. Just try less. Try less.
It's not even really like shade. It's more just like the context is so missing from it.
No, it was remarkable to be in the moment to realize that I could not think back to I could not instantly reach for, especially as someone who watched her favorite football player play against this guy several times a year for like a decade. I can't pull a holy shit Tom Brady play immediately out of my brain.
Right.
No, and by the way, that's because he doesn't play hero ball. That's it. Like that's
no.
The best.
He plays all his hero ball off the field, which and, is why and I can't God, stand that, him.
I was gonna say that's exactly why. Like, I would pick 50 other quarterbacks over him because, goddamn, I'd rather watch Dan Marino throw 4 interceptions than watch him win 4 Super Bowls.
I really would. I did not realize that this exists, but there is a Slate article from
Tom Brady. Is he bad?
It's very close to that. It's
yes.
It's,
thank you, Slate.
It's like good. Almost
ever reliable.
It's about 2 weeks old. The headline, what is the most exciting play of Tom Brady's career? The subhead, is there one?
Okay, that's a great point. I take it back. Who wrote that?
Nick Green.
Nick Green, I don't know you, but I celebrate
Nick Green,
you.
Well done, man.
I know Jason Kirk and Alex Kirshner have been doing some Slate blogging too of late. Perhaps y'all should check out this new website.
This new upstart.
Which we have just invented.
Scrappy. Yeah. Alex, by the way, like both Alex and Jason have done great stuff on Slate.com. Alex
has had a little bit of a week.
Rapidly blossoming into a muckraking financial reporter.
It's like he took raw dogging the quarter zip and grew his career out of that.
He did. That's what he's doing. He's disrespecting the quarter zip, the sacred garment of the finance industry. One drop of sweat at a time.
Let's go back to celebrating Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I would much rather do that. If I was like, man, quarterbacks I'd rather have over Brady just for the experience. Mike Vick, I don't care. If they're like, hey, listen. Yeah, he's not going to learn anything if you go back and rerun this. He's still going to get arrested for dogfighting. I'm like, awesome. Let's do it.
Spencer?
Can we do it without, with a less bloody crime? How about that?
Yeah.
Art theft.
A less bloody crime.
Yes. Can we not do dogfighting and awesome in consecutive sentences?
Not related.
No. Okay.
What about...
Folks,
what?
You can reach Spencer at 404...
How about Mike Vick goes to federal prison for freeing animals from the Georgia aquarium?
Yeah.
Much
Dude,
better. Mike,
what? I'm like 100%
Mike Vick steals
in now.
A whale shark from the Georgia aquarium to release it into the sea.
Eco-terrorist Mike Vick.
Yes.
Eco-terrorist Mike Vick. That's much better.
Eco-terrorist these days.
That's right.
If you told me like, I was trying to think of other quarterbacks that would take over him. Aaron Rodgers with all the foibles, with all of the like playoff disappointments. Yeah. 100% do that because he's been thrown to traffic cones. Will Brady was thrown to traffic cones. Those were highly managed traffic cones in a Bill Belichickian machine.
I have a rude one. Dante Culpepper.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. God, Dante Culpepper to Randy Moss? That was money. Yep. That was delightful. That was
Jim fun. Sorge.
Let's not do that.
Yep.
No.
Nope, I said it.
But look, no.
I'm the one who's problematic on this show tonight. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Even like Weird Horseman John Elway. Like John Elway would at least run to one side of the field, rear back, and heave it to the other side of the field.
John Elway, so like... You go look at the raw numbers, and it's like, oh, John Elway's kind of overrated. Okay. No. Now compare his teammates to Joe Montana's teammates, right? Mm. Yeah. John Elway was awesome. Yeah. Like, I don't have to approve of anything he's into these days to say John Elway was a fucking awesome football player. And his teammates were often the ones being carried by him, unlike
Tom Brady. I'm going to say this in language a Falcons fan can understand. John Elway 1.0. The one who became famous, not the one who won Super Bowls, playing in a Dan Reeves offense. Playing in a Dan Reeves offense. That
Which,
man at 30.
Who also oversaw the offense
Mike
friendly. That's right. That's right. He did not try to run the goddamn West Coast offense with Mike Vick as Jim Mora did. So Dan Reeves, offensive innovator, you'll hear no quarrel from me.
All right. I have come up with a list of coaches from college who would make good English football clubs.
Okay.
I've compiled two lists. One is a list of coaches whose full names could be English football clubs in and of themselves. The second is a list of like cheeky nicknames. Like they don't sound like the full names of coaches themselves, but it sounds like, you know, Spencer, what are some football club names? I don't know any. Man City.
Aston Villa.
Crystal Palace.
No, like when you shorten the names, like what are like the short versions of the team names?
Wolves.
Yeah.
Hammers.
God damn it. Okay. Anyway, right? you'll get what I mean. You absolutely ruined this. All right. So, if I told you any of the following was an English football club, would you believe me? Mm-hmm. Scott Satterfield.
Yeah.
Bronco Mendenhall.
No.
I feel like that might be more Bundesliga.
All right. Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the one that I think. Here's, I think, the runner-up to the best one. Kirk Ferentz. Kirk, as we learned, is a Scottish word that means church.
I like that if it's all one word.
Yeah.
Cook for Ed Kirk Ferentz. Nails an equalizer. There it is. 3-3.
Here's one I feel is really strong.
That would
Thomas
be
Hammock.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. Let me propose one thing here. Can we run back through this and flip the word order of all
five?
Sure.
I think it's
magic on all five of them.
Okay.
All right. Satterfield Scott.
Look at that.
Yeah, 100%.
Satterfield Scott.
Oh, to distinguish it from like Satterfield Wales, they're hated rivals. Yeah. Okay.
They're directly across the border from each other. Yeah.
Mendenhall Bronco.
Oh,
look at that.
Mendenhall Bronco. Yeah. Yeah, but they'd be singular because it's a football club name. They're not the Broncos.
That's correct. Yeah.
Riley Lincoln.
Yeah.
That sounds like a pop star.
Riley Lincoln's like a third tier pub team. Yeah.
Yeah. Ference Kirk. Ooh, one word. Yeah.
Look at that. Look at that.
Yeah. Hammock Thomas.
Yeah.
That's maybe a manager.
Yeah. Yeah.
Calhoun Troy. I can't say this one in reverse, but I think it works really well forwards. Kirby Smart.
Kirby Smart is 100% a second.
It's pronounced
Kirbismert.
Kirbismert. Kirbismert, and they're a Turkish
Kirby
team.
Smart. There's a Kirby Smart. Yeah.
I think the umlaut is over the A.
Yeah, and there's like a little weird curly cued O over one of the letters.
Sure,
And Kirbismert had like a weird wheelchair basketball riot 5 years ago.
Kirbismert.
Kirbismert.
All right.
Their stadium is in the shape of the Holy Kirbismert, which it turns out is some weird like water cooler. Yeah.
All right, stay with me here. Lane Kiffin.
Oh, Lane Kiffin is a team.
No,
you can't
I disagree with that. Lane Kiffin is a stadium.
And Kiffin Lane have equalized.
Kiffin Lane is a stadium. And you're like,
Welcome to
Excuse
Lane Kiffin.
Excuse me. It's pronounced Kiffinlin.
Kiffinlin.
Kiffinlin. Kiffinlin. All right. This one works in forward and reverse, I guess, making this the Georgia of... oh my God, it's literally the Georgia of Alabama or England. I feel like I've just opened the Ark of the Covenant. Oh my God.
Hmm.
Are you guys aware of the name of the University of South Alabama's new coach?
No.
Kane Womack.
Kane Womack. Wow. Yeah.
Kane Womack. Womack Kane.
Listen, he's literally
Alabama or England.
Kane Womack scored 13 goals for West Ham.
Oh yeah, he was the DC at Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Also, I don't know if it's Womack or Womack, but for the purposes of this exercise, it felt like there was only one way to go.
Sure.
I want to put Jeff. Always sounds like it's short for a football club for some reason. Because if you're like, oh, I root for Jeff Hafley.
Who do you root
for? Yeah,
who's your club? Shetland Jeff.
Who's your club? Oh man, I pull for Willie Fritz. I pull for Walt Bell.
Yeah.
It'd be one of those clubs when somebody gets super hipster on you and they're like, yeah, I root for Jeff Sheffley. And you're like, no, you don't. No, you don't. No one watches them.
They've been bankrupt for 13 years.
Yep.
There is one clear leader among all of these that I think has to be a football club. And in fact, you can't prove it's not because, again, this is not split zone. Tom Arth.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oi, me old Arth Tom.
Arth Tom is the ancestral like stomping grounds of some team full of like where the fans are all coal miners.
I was picturing the Daily Mirror going like, "Get Arth fucked."
Yeah.
You'll never fart alone.
You'll never Arth alone. Anyway, thank you for being with me on this journey.
Can I make a confession here? By the way, I have a secret EPL team.
But you don't post about it on Twitter every Saturday morning. How are we supposed to know that?
Ever.
Good. That makes you the only good kind of American football fan.
I cannot, but I do have a secret EPL team.
Okay, don't tell us.
How secret are we talking?
I don't know about it.
She didn't know about it.
I like how it makes it sound like he purchased this team.
Yeah.
Man, he might have with all of his money from acorns.com.
Ooh, we'll get there.
Damn.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Let's go.
Read the ad.
Oh, man. Jason, let's hit this.
I love that. The ad text is not exactly present on that side. So acorns.com/fullcast is the country's leading saving and investing app. Let us check in on the pile that has accrued.
I'm sorry. What? I didn't see that there was no text there. I just built a segue into nothing.
No, it's not your
we're
fault.
Rolling.
We're on we're a rolling. Road to nowhere.
We're growing. We're in the ground.
But you know what's going to be waiting for us when we get there?
No,
our
it's
dollars
fine.
And
so,
cents rounded up.
That's right.
Yeah. Shit. I've also put in some of my GameStop winnings. I've put in some of the season's football gambling production. And yeah, the pile is blooming. My retirement pace, let's say aged 83, is as high as it'll go. Okay. That's ambitious, but
is it
brother?
Just, is it
brother?
Does
we
it just
have,
say stonks?
so you can forecast as far as you want to go. Let's say 83, all right? The idea of retiring at 83 is fantastical and far-fetched. But there's a big enough number here that could probably last me like 6 months or something once inflation is you know, like quadrupled or whatever, you know, money terms. If you don't like money terms, Acorns is the perfect saving and investing app for you. You don't have to know a darn thing. Money go in, line go up. That's it. Higher line go, sooner you can retire. It says 83. That's ambitious, but we'll keep working on it. Acorns.com/fullcast for your $5 starter kit.
Jason, you're by far the most active football gambler of our bunch, which I know is not a high bar to clear, but how did you do this season with all of the slipperiness of the circumstances surrounding it?
I used to term spray the board. It's a gross term that means bet on a lot of games, but this season I was really
yeah.
picky, and I only bet on games if it was like, all right, there's a friendly number based on, you know, SB plus FPI team rankings, etc. So only a few games per week, and that turned out quite well, and was on the right side last night because I looked, you know, one team has an offensive line. One team doesn't.
You and Mattress Mac.
Mattress Mac clean.
Oh, was he also on the Bucks? Up.
Mattress Mac won big.
Yeah, because Mattress Mac was on the board for
was it like $3.5 million.
Oh, listen,
$3.25 million.
Mattress Mac, who, if you do not know, Mattress Mac,
like, he's come up on the show before.
James McInvale, he is.
He's like the anti Joel Osteen.
Yeah, I don't know if we need to explain who Mattress Mac is to our listeners.
Okay,
Spencer
just saying,
appears to not know who he is, despite being the most Houstonian.
No, I know.
I think our listeners know who Mattress Mac is.
Okay, I know. I was concerned that Spencer didn't know.
I'm trying
a
to find the
I
exact.
I thought he was having a small stroke.
I'm trying to find the amount.
It was
that
like
Mac
four million, something like that. I didn't know who he bet on, but it was something like 4 million.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I thought Spencer was confused as to the identity of Mattress Mac.
I wanted
Mac.
To get you the exact terms of the bet here, because
which
if you do not know Mattress Mac, who the mattress baron of Houston, we're, Texas, we're just in case you out. Don't know, he tied this into one of his in-store promotions. Because
that's why he's the mattress king.
That is correct, because his gallery furniture stores from the Houston Chronicle said that offered customers a chance to win free furniture if the Bucks won. If the customer spent $3,000 or more on a Tempur-Pedic, Sealy, or Stearns & Foster mattress, box spring, and or adjustable base, they get their money back since Tampa won. Which is pretty incredible.
But, did you see the actual bet that he placed on the game?
The biggest bet he played. It was the biggest bet placed this year on the Super Bowl. He placed $3.46 million on the Bucks plus 3.5 points.
Yeah, that 3.5. That's nice. Friendly side of the key number there. That's excellent line
shot. So if he put 3.46 down, how much did our boy get back? Or is that between him and the casino?
Well, it'd be right around there, because that's not like odds.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not, he didn't take Tampa straight up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If he'd done that, he would have collected even more. But. Yeah. Plus but the points, you're going to get the casino's going to take their cut, and he's going to basically double his money, more or less.
Damn, Mac. Again, living the life that other people wish they could. Mattress Mac. What did you do? I established an empire based on sleep and sex, right? Comfortable sleep and sex. That's really what Mattress Mac established his entire career on. And now he just gets to gamble on sports in public. This sounds great. This is an amazing life.
Yeah. The so on like how football gambling was different this year, like, yeah, it was all like, it was very difficult to predict. But the really, really funny thing is that like statistical models actually held up really well, which is bizarre. Like, I think Vegas had a harder time with it than most like computer power rankings did. And human gamblers, I assume, just got wiped out. But it was weird. Like, computer rankings just cut through all the weird garbage, which makes you wonder how much the weird garbage actually matters. Like, look how weird the season was. And all the bizarre factors we've never had before. And look who won it. Alabama and Tom Brady and LeBron James.
Finally, the computers are in charge.
So, like, all the stuff we spent, you know, like, oh, man, this is different. This is going to change. No, it's not. Nothing changes anything.
Well,
we control the horizontal.
Nothing changes anything.
We control the vertical. Bet on Tom Brady hitting passes in the flat. It's probably a good idea to throw to Gronk. Just throwing that out
football
there.
Football bebop? Yeah.
Yeah. Can I tell you, he did a promo with Lyft where he was driving around with a shitty wig on, which I have to say, Rob Gronkowski with the shitty wig on and some Oakleys totally looks like somebody who would live in Tampa. And he was driving around Tampa picking people up and saying things like, yeah, man, I just want to meet Rob Gronkowski. And, you know, he would take the wig off and go, oh, you just did. And the best part of this ad is that every time that Rob Gronkowski takes the wig off and says, oh, you just met Rob Gronkowski, he sounds surprised. Like, that, like, Rob Gronkowski's in the car.
They put a mirror behind the camera so that he could...
like, it is Rob Gronkowski. It seems new to him every time. Either he's one of the most convincing actors alive, or he forgot the bit every single time.
Which one do you think it is?
I have my suspicions.
You've seen the anecdote about the Gronkowski household when he was a child, right?
Or a teen. that was Chris Jones.
Which
story.
One?
Oh yeah, which, that was a Chris Jones story.
That's which right. anecdote? There is several.
Well, the one that stuck with me was that they have. I think they said they put it was either five beds or five mattresses.
It was five king beds in three or across like two or three bedrooms.
Yeah. And they just sort of like, nobody had a room. It was just sort of like big Gronks just pass out wherever they do.
Yeah.
And that's just how they lived perpetually.
Yeah. There was also, they went through, what was it? 20 gallons of milk a week. As soon as all the boys moved out, the dad was like, replacing the hot tub as soon as I can.
It's like he was running a college dining hall, basically.
It spent like $600 a week just on groceries. I asked him what it was like. He looked at me and said, total hell. This is from... This is from Chris Jones. The story was at Esquire. But
yeah.
There was also a story new today about Gronk's mom, who also went through total hell. Like, it was her job to like handle the logistics of five boys who played like nine sports each. God. And one of them is like, and there weren't even cell phones. I literally don't know how she did it.
I assume she like tied wires to all of them and they just like went across town.
long strings.
Pull on the gold one and be like, that's Rob. Just pull on him. Right. He'll come home.
At Burmese airports, they don't announce your flight. What they do is they put a sticker on your chest, like they slap a sticker on your chest, and they come around, and if you're wearing that color, they just pull you onto the plane. That's what they did. The Gronkowski household had to be color-coordinated.
That's a rom-com.
Yeah, it had to be color-coordinated stickers where she was just like, yeah, go grab purple.
Or I take
you mean Rob? Purple. Whatever.
Holly, why not both? Oh, wait, I see why not both. Never mind. Imagine running a Golden Corral and the Gronkowskis come in.
Like, down the hatches.
Do you just call the cops right away?
Self-destruct.
the manager in the back turns to everyone. He's like, remember your training.
Listen,
hatch in the floor and the employees all
8:32 p.m. The chocolate fountain goes down. Listen, just let it go.
We need
pull
backup.
Back to the perimeter.
We need backup now.
Nobody has to die tonight. Don't be a hero.
That's the Edge of Tomorrow sequel I want.
Doctor Strange's portals start opening up, and more chefs and waiters are pouring in. And Wong is like, "This is not enough."
There's one gate that opens up, and there's no people. It's just hash browns pouring out of the gate from nowhere.
The portal opens up, and it's the fresh bread sign.
Like, seriously, at one point, like, if you had to go to their bathroom and look down at the commode, and in the bottom of the bowl, there had to be a smoking groove worn in it from five boys just shitting as hard as they could into it.
What? Like, Cerber, Cerber, can you put that one next to our advertiser on the Twitter
feed? Just do that.
Like, do you even do laundry if you're the Gronkowskis?
No.
Or you just have, like, a burn pit?
I think what you have is you probably just have a hose in the back bidet.
Full of Axe body spray.
Yeah.
I think you make them clothes out of like the stuff they make surgical masks out
of.
Yes.
And you just bag it up and throw it out. And
I think
open
you
the next
have
plastic
to.
Bag.
You got to make it fun. So I think you do like a slip and slide that has just like detergent. And
what
like,
if you have a car wash?
Yes. Drive through car wash.
But yeah, they
drive
run through
a car wash
it.
In yes. an open top Jeep.
Yeah. Boys, go play in the car wash.
You smell fucking terrible. Go with the car wash.
And like, I love like calling them boys. And they're all like 17.
They're all 17 and can all like deadlift 900 pounds. And it's like,
okay, mom,
hey, listen.
Bong, bong, bong. That's what it sounds like when they run.
Did you ever see Big Mouth, the episode where at one point the mother who only has boys has one room in her house that nobody can go into? And she explains that at one point when one of the friends comes over and stumbles into the room, she looks at him and goes, "I only have boys and I'm married to a man. The rest of this house smells like Burger King forever." That's the Gronkowski household.
I feel like God put all the sliders to full for Mrs. Gronkowski and was like, "Here you go."
Heisman difficulty.
Just no, man. Like, yeah, can I have a car? The answer is yes. Drive away. Drive very far away.
Fuck, how different would history be if Henry VIII had married Mrs. Gronk first?
Oh, man.
You're like, wow, we all speak English.
Wow.
All
he's
of us.
Now, he's super Catholic, as it turns out. He's super into Catholicism. He loves it.
He conquered the entire world.
Him and his son, Prince Rob, they fucking love it.
Prince Gronk.
I'm sorry.
That's it. That's the entire world just lives on like the chippy, right?
Yeah.
Just like the chip shop. It'd be the chip shop and exercise bikes. That's all.
It would end up we're all descended from like Gronkus Khan has millions of descendants.
You know the made up name.
All putting on our Ferenskirk kits for Saturday.
By the way, the name you made up for a Gronkowski ancestor is funny. It's not as funny as the real name for the most famous Gronkowski ancestor, and that would be American professional cyclist and Olympian world record holder Ignatius Gronkowski.
Ignatius Gronk. Iggy Gronk.
Who went by Iggy. So
Iggy
he went by
Gronk.
He went by Iggy Gronkowski, and he
not
was
Natius. Natius.
And by the way, he was a miler and a 2 miler on a bike. So back in the 20s, before people ate protein, he had legs the size of hams. Dude was, dude totally looks like, you're like a cyclist. You're like, no, he looks like a Gronkowski. Go look at a photo of Iggy Gronkowski. And you're like, oh yeah, that man could water an eye with a fart from 40 yards. That's a Gronkowski.